This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Nick Ashew on the Fan, taking you up to and through kickoff, second preseason game, Commanders-Bengals. It's sort of Monday Night Football. We remember how that went last time these teams played last year. I've seen the highlight, by the way, of the Jeremy McNichols block that he threw that led to that, you know, Jaden Daniels throw and the touchdown. Oh, God, just time and time again seeing that. It is so nice to just look at highlights of this team from last season and to be in a position where we're looking at heading into this year and the expectations being so different where they were. But that doesn't mean you're not going to have football issues. That doesn't mean you're going to have some level of controversy about where a player is going to go, who's going to sign where. Like that's still, we've still had that this offseason. And Terry McLaurin has obviously dominated everything around this team, non-football, on the field related. I mean, listen, technically it's still football, right? It's football. It's just the business side of football that nobody really wants to talk about. But now we've got Brian Robinson not playing tonight. Not on the level of importance that Terry McLaurin is, but we would argue that he did have value at times last year to this offense when he was at his peak. The problem was with Brian Robinson is that you didn't have this consistency week in and week out. There were fumble issues in the past, and there have been injuries, and there have been a lot of different things where we've seen what the peak is for him. You've seen what the expectations are. The problem is you just didn't see it consistently. Trade rumors over the weekend starting to leak out about Brian Robinson, and now news today that he's not playing tonight against the Bengals. This is the end of B-Rob in D.C. That's what that means. New front offices always love to kind of weed out the guys from previous regimes. He just hasn't been consistent enough to justify keeping, and that's just even playing from the front office's mind alone. Like, you can see this, the writing is on the wall. What have I said time and time again since I've been back on this station? With Terry McLaurin, they have followed the blueprint of what you do step by step, phase by phase in a contract negotiation in the offseason in the NFL. It's why I haven't panicked yet. This is the same situation now with the front office slowly starting, or in some cases it's been a lot faster, clearing out guys that they are 100% committed to and bought into from the previous regime. Some of it is just, if you're that front office and there's not a guy that you absolutely love, you want to bring in your own guys. You want to have absolutely every little bit of contact that you can have with the depth chart of this team or any team. The trade rumors were the start of this. But this is at one of those spots now where there's smoke, there's fire. That's what we've gotten to. Now, I'm not saying the Commanders are going to get a lot for him. I'm not even saying he's more valuable on the trade market than he is on this roster. But from just the team's perspective first, it's very simple. They've made their thoughts known, right? Brian Robinson is not valuable enough to this team to be out there tonight in what's considered essentially the dress rehearsal for the regular season. This is the final spot to see some of the starters out there, even if it's a couple drives, whatever the case is, depending on who's out there, how many snaps they get, whatever. And again, there's some veterans that aren't even playing. Fine. But the difference is that Brian Robinson is in a contract year and has shown the flashes of good Brian Robinson, and then the really, really bad Brian Robinson, too. And that's where it's a lot different than, like, Zach Ertz not playing or, like, insert veteran here, Bobby Wagner, whatever. Like, nobody's going to panic over those types of things because you know what those guys can do. You know the consistencies that we got last year from them. And listen, if you're going to trade Brian Robinson for whatever it is that you get, you don't want him getting hurt. And that's, like, one of the most basic things this time of year. If you're thinking about moving on from a guy and you want to have any sort of value whatsoever, you don't want him to go out there and look worse than he did last year. Again, there's also the risk of not putting him out there and him actually raising his trade value because he realizes he's got something to prove, put something on tape for other teams and all of those things. That's the balance that you're going to have as an organization. Clearly, they've made their case known. It's about him sitting and not being out there. And look, Cliff Kingsbury wants explosive players. That's not B-Rob. 4.1 yards a carry in his career, 29th in yards after first contact among running backs in the NFL. If you even want to get real deep and nerdy with some of the stats with him, his percentage of 10-yard runs, 9.8. That ranked 86th last year in the NFL. Like, these aren't explosive plays. Now, yes, is it good to have a variety in your backfield, guys that can just pound the ball up the middle and get you yards and make some of the tough runs that you need, and then have a guy like Austin Ekeler who can be a receiver and a shifty guy out of the backfield? Yeah, that does matter. But it's clear that this front office, this organization, does not want that to be the case. And listen, you're going to get a lot of Chris Rodriguez probably tonight. You're going to get Bill the running back, Bill Kroski Merritt. By the way, Adam Schefter put out a tweet letting everybody else know about, like, him wanting to be called Bill. I'm just thinking, like, the rest of the country might be buying in to the Bill the running back hype tonight. But, like, the hype has been real, and it's very clear that this organization also buys in on it, right? Because it has made Brian Robinson expendable, clearly. Now there's Jeremy McNichols also on this. He's got a niche, right? He's a valuable blocker. I talk about that block against the Bengals last year that led to the great throw to Terry McLaurin touchdown. And like you do need something like that on your roster, too. And if you see Jeremy McNichols as this journeyman that can go out there and make the tough plays, right? He's the guy in basketball that dives on the floor for loose balls and gets a bloody forehead and takes an elbow to the face but gets the rebound or the jump ball. Like, that's the somebody that you need on your roster, too, and Jeremy McNichols can be that guy. Now, I'll say this. It doesn't mean that Brian Robinson has no value to this team, because in reality, what are they going to get? A seventh-round pick? If they're lucky, a six-round pick? So if you really want to weigh this, you've got to really be out on Brian Robinson to say, we would rather get a draft pick for a player that most likely won't make our team or won't be around for more than a couple of years, maybe on the practice squad, versus Brian Robinson in a contract year. Because to me, one of the big blueprints that I've loved about this front office has been all the prove-it deals, right? Guys coming in on 1-2 year deals, something to prove, trying to get things on tape, trying to earn a bigger contract, whether it's here, whether it's somewhere else. We saw that last year. Some guys are still here. Some guys aren't anymore. But you have guys that are highly motivated, because let's be honest, money motivates everybody. So isn't Brian Robinson going to be somebody that'll be motivated by getting that next contract, by being in the last year of his deal? I think that's valuable. But clearly the front office has made it known, at least at this point, they don't see it that way. Now, this could all wrap up, could all be done. Final roster comes out and he's on the team. They couldn't get a trade that they wanted. Most teams sat around and expected him to get released, not make the final 53, and the team says, you know what, we'll keep him. But then the question is, like, who's the odd man out at running back? They'll probably keep four. You can't keep more than four, especially with an offense that's going to throw the football the way they want to and have a bunch of explosive plays and do the things they are. Oh, and by the way, Deebo Samuel is a running back at times out of the backfield, which makes it that much more difficult to keep even four running backs, let alone five, which they're just never going to do. You don't do that in today's NFL. It's a very tricky situation. Unless they already have maybe a trade in place, which I doubt, but like if they did and it's like we'll hold them out and then we'll make the trade afterwards and whatever and we'll finalize the details, maybe that's it. But the reality here is that by not playing Brian Robinson at all, you have shown us your cards Adam Peters, the rest of that front office has shown everybody around the NFL Brian Robinson is not valuable enough to this team, and those trade rumors are true. Could change. I think there's more value in him and what you can get on the field, even if it's inconsistent, and he has a limited amount of snaps this year versus a seventh rounder, sixth rounder that you get in a trade for next year that maybe or maybe doesn't make the team, but, you know, younger players. He's still only 26. Contract year works for me, but clearly I'm not running that front office, and I do try to do the "in Adam Peters we trust" for now, so we'll see. Of course, we aren't going to have Terry McLaurin out there at all, so that's a whole other conversation, which we will get to. Tonight, of course, though, the brightest spotlight is going to be in the preseason. So who has that chance to shine? Also, Kevin Sheehan coming up at 7. Nick Ashew on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nick Ashew on the Fan, Bengals Commanders preseason game number 2 kickoff around 8. About an hour and 10 minutes. We'll talk to Kevin Sheehan at 7. Coach Sheehan. Dress rehearsal tonight. The game, we'll finally get to see a lot, you know, not all the starters, but a good portion of the starters, at least out there a little bit. This is a chance for us to gauge a little bit more of, you know, what this offense, what this defense could look like. Again, not everybody's going to be out there. And yes, the big name that's not going to be out there is not Brian Robinson, though. That was sort of the breaking news, you know, within the last few hours today that's really kind of dominated everything around this team. And a lot of it's just because, let's be real, we've heard the same thing and it's become a watered-down story in some aspects, and Terry McLaurin not being out there. But I will say this, because there's always a new layer that does kind of generate some level of emotion where people get so panicked again. And I get it. Like, I'm probably the least panicked about this situation out of almost anybody that's talked about Terry McLaurin and his contract negotiations and all this. And some of it is looking at Trey Hendrickson on the other side. He's not going to be on the other side of the field, but, you know, with the team that's on the other side of that field and the Bengals, who now they're looking to actually shop him. But this has been going on for a long time. This isn't just this offseason with Trey Hendrickson and the Bengals, and then Micah Parsons in Dallas, that whole situation, and they're not talking at all. And Terry McLaurin, even though he's off the PUP list, which has really kind of felt like a formality, and it's take him off there and start working on getting him back in foot. Because, right, the biggest concern that I've said that I've had, and I still do, is not about Terry McLaurin not playing week one. It's about Terry McLaurin not being ready to play week one, because there's a big difference. He can be available. He can be on the active roster. But he could not be physically ready to be out there. And that offense has already fallen way behind. Cliff Kingsbury's talked about that. This offense is not in a great spot right now. I mean, yes, you've got your franchise quarterback, knock on wood, hopefully in year two here. I'm going to keep trending in that way. But, like, you got offensive linemen that have been in and out. Terry McLaurin hasn't been out there at all. Some of the guys farther down the depth chart at wide receiver, not looking good, which this is an opportunity for them against the Bengals to step up and really show that they can contribute in ways that maybe the team needs right now. Like, all of those things matter. But in the end, Terry McLaurin not being out there at all with the team, why would he? Why would he be out there right now? If he's not playing, it speaks volumes in the negotiation so much more if he's completely absent than if he's standing on the sidelines. Yes, the camera can pan to him during the broadcast, and they can be like, there's Terry McLaurin who's talking about a new contract, and we're not there, and blah, blah, blah. You can do all that, but you catch him smiling, talking to teammates. That doesn't send a message to the front office or the team that he wants a new deal as much as, I'm still not going to be there. He's out at practice. He's made it known. Loves the fans. Cool with Josh Harris. Even out there talking to Adam Peters at times. Jaden Daniels' mom. All of these things. Those show, hey, everybody, I want you to know, none of this has to do with you. It's just business. Part of this then being just business is Terry McLaurin saying, I'm not going to be out there for this preseason game because I'm not playing, and I want that to be talked about like I'm doing right now, like everybody else has been doing. That matters. That sends more of a message where it's clearly about business. It's not personal. His teammates, by all accounts, certainly don't see it as anything more than him wanting to get paid. He's certainly not going to play anyway. So why would he be out there? Of course he's not going to be there. But every day that Terry McLaurin misses time with this team, time with this offense, means more and more setbacks and more delays for this group to come together and be the offense that it needs to be and that Cliff Kingsbury wants it to be. That's one of the biggest problems here. Because as much as you can say, you know, Terry McLaurin's working out on his own and there with the team and, you know, in meetings and do it all, that's great. That's not football shape. The ramp up now, what is that ramp up really going to look like? Oh, and what about actually getting out there for 11 on 11 and 7 on 7 in practice and red zone drills and these types of things and understanding, like, he hasn't been on the field at all with Deebo Samuel. They need to know where they are on certain plays and crossing routes and the little intricacies that you may not see unless it's clear they're not on the same page and somebody runs into each other or, you know, there's a complete miscommunication and Jaden Daniels overthrows Terry McLaurin because it was a completely wrong route. Like, I understand the chemistry they had, but any average quarterback, any no-name quarterback could show up in D.C., and which they've had, show up in D.C. and be like, I get the ball to number 17. So, like, that doesn't even matter. What matters is the lack of chemistry and consistency this offense has really had as a whole. And it stands out the most with Terry McLaurin not being out there actually on the field. So him standing on the sidelines for this doesn't do anything to this team. It's not going to, like, get everybody more motivated to get out there and be like, oh, we got to beat the Bengals today in this preseason. It's not going to, that doesn't mean anything. Guys are going out there to get warmed up, get loose, get through the rhythms, take some real hits, build up some of those calluses for the regular season. And after that, I mean, we're looking at, checks watch, couple of weeks until the start of the regular season. Terry McLaurin is still under contract. And it's a lot of money he's going to start sacrificing if he doesn't play starting week one. And by all accounts, he's not Cam Hayward or Trey Hendrickson or Micah Parsons, any of these guys talking about not playing week one or wanting to get traded or not wanting to be where they are anymore. None of that has happened. The trade request was a completely empty trade request. Now, this drags on into the regular season. I don't think it's going to, but let's just say it does. Because again, opinions can change when we've got new information. And if we were to get new information that says, oh, now Terry's pissed and he's really considering sitting out, it could be a flex, but he could really mean it. And that's when you start getting concerned. But I'm just worried about this offense lagging behind the first couple weeks of the season, because it's not like these guys have been together for 5-6 years, okay? Like, this still matters. This isn't Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne and Peyton Manning. Like, we ain't there yet. So there's a lot that still needs to be worked on. There's a lot of growth that still needs to be there, and just getting a rhythm. And that matters. Like, athletes are, I mean, regimen matters every single day, what you're doing in practice, before practice, after practice. All of that matters. And all that's thrown off with everybody. The trickle-down effect for on the field is far worse than any of this right now. All right, we'll talk to Kevin Sheehan next. Commanders, Bengals kicking off at about an hour. Nick Ashew on the Fan. Starters, and then who the hell knows what's going to happen after that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Unless, of course, you're betting the second half, which there are people that will, and I will not stop you from doing that, that's for sure. Big fan of first half totals and first half spreads, I'll just say that, in the preseason. Speaking of betting, Kevin Sheehan jumps on with us, host of the Kevin Sheehan Show, the show on Team 980, the podcast as well. You a preseason better at all, buddy?
Never. I mean, I have friends that do it and still to this day swear by it, but swear by it much less than they used to because it's just, it's unpredictable in terms of the way the teams will. Teams are so much less serious about preseason games than they even were 5-10 years ago. So you just don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah, I can remember a Packers preseason game. I want to say it was a couple of years ago. I don't even remember who their backup quarterback was, but he led a drive to end the first half that had them cover the first half in a preseason game, and I won and felt excited, and then I went, I need to stop this. This is ridiculous. But, well, when you do when you host betting shows for years like I did, you kind of just get sucked up into that world. So here we are. Two guys important, you know, two big names not playing tonight. Terry McLaurin, obviously, we know. We'll get to that. Brian Robinson, though, was the story that came out, you know, a few hours ago today. Just your thoughts on B-Rob not being out there and what message that's sending at this point by the team?
Well, I mean, I think he's done. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I think the reporting over the weekend, and, you know, credit my guy Ben Standick, who had a hunch about this about a week ago and said, I just have a hunch, not based on any information, that he might not be on the roster week one. Yeah, I mean, the whole idea of some sort of mutual decision between him and the team not to play is a dead giveaway. They're trying to move him, and if they don't move him, I would assume that it's now more likely than not that he'll get released. And there's no guarantee they'll be able to move him. It's not like there's going to be a big market for him. You know, if they get a sixth rounder or something, you know, close to that, they'd probably consider it a big win in addition to not having to pay him $3.4 million this year.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about the price that he'll fetch, let's say, on the open market, a sixth or seventh round pick, I mean, in the end, you maybe draft a guy that maybe makes your roster, maybe on the practice squad. Brian Robinson at his peak, we've obviously seen the flashes of, like, how good he can be, but the consistency and the fumbles and the injuries and all these different things have been certainly a problem, not to mention Cliff Kingsbury wants really explosive players, and 4.1 yards a carry for your career is not really explosive when it comes to a running back. I don't know. To me, the issue is it's clearly a numbers game, right? They got a lot of depth at running back, a lot of guys that they see some at least potential in. Kind of feels like this is one of those, he is who he is at this point. Like, if you were in that front office right now, if you were Adam Peters, everybody else making these decisions, would you be in the boat of, let's move on from him, or would it be, hey, he could still be motivated, contract year, final year, still has value to this team?
I thought they were going to move on after him when the season ended in January in Philadelphia. I really thought that the combination of, you know, he's just okay, he lacks, you know, major explosiveness, maybe even some versatility, durability, with the fact that he was going into the last year of his contract, and the fact that the draft was loaded with running backs, I thought there was a good chance they were going to take one on night two or early on day three. And then when they didn't, Nick, and didn't take a running back until the seventh round, I thought, well, they're probably going to stick with him. I mean, they have a lot of running backs on the roster. I wouldn't call it, like, quality depth. I know you didn't describe it that way. I think, you know, Eckler is a known for sure. I think Debo Samuel as a runner is a known, but everything else, I mean, I'm sure they have some analytics on Chris Rodriguez because they did decide to bring him back. They love McNichols on special teams. You know, that guy Kaz Allen just continues to get opportunity after opportunity because he is legitimately explosive. I think they just probably view it as, by committee, including with Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, a.k.a. Bill Kroski-Merritt, that they're better off, or at least equivalent to, having Brian Robinson be their number one guy, but they might be able to get something for Brian Robinson now, and they might be able to save $3.4 million. So, you know, all of it makes sense to me. I just don't know that I think a lot of fans believe, well, they've identified they've got their lead back of the future, and it's their seventh round pick. They might be right. I don't know that they're not correct, but I would bet more that it is right now. They view him as a talent, but they think it's by committee to start.
And that's really where I think the intrigue is with this running backs room. Talking to Kevin Sheehan, Nick Ashew on the Fan, you know, you don't again, Bill the running back has been a really exciting preseason hero, but we haven't seen him in the regular season, and sometimes that works in Alfred Morris for a couple of seasons, and sometimes these guys never really pan out in the regular season. It's clear they obviously see something in him, or we wouldn't even be hearing Brian Robinson trade rumors. When this all shakes out, let's say Brian Robinson's just not on the roster. However that happens, he's traded, released, doesn't make the roster, whatever the case is. What does that running back kind of rotation in your eyes look like to you?
I don't know, because I think Debo's going to be a part of the solution. I think Eckler can be a big part of the solution. I don't know that they were, you know, any more dynamic offensively than they were when Eckler was healthy early in the season. And I'm talking about minus the quarterback, because they were always a threat offensively because of Jaden. They love McNichols, but he's more special teams. But maybe he becomes like the Jeremy Reeves of this season, where Reeves apparently is going to get, you know, defensive snaps, and maybe McNichols will get offensive snaps. You know, maybe they have a lot of belief in Rodriguez, who, you know, played really well in the Atlanta game, the game in which they won in overtime and clinched a playoff berth. Or maybe it is more Kroski Merritt. I mean, he certainly hasn't had, I mean, he's played in one game and he had 7 carries for 24 yards. This isn't like Marcus Mason, you know, sort of preseason hero of results. But we'll see, because I thought that even in the limited amount of time against New England, he looked the part. But what does that mean when you're playing against, you know, third and fourth teamers? I don't know. I mean, they clearly want to move on from Brian Robinson Jr. That's what we definitely know. How they proceed without him, we can only guess at this point.
We could talk about preseason heroes and names like Marcus Mason for an entire segment. I mean, the amount
Marco
of times.
Mitchell. How about him?
Oh, my gosh. There's so many of them. Marco Mitchell is a great name, by the way. Talking to Kevin Sheehan here on The Fan. Terry McLaurin not going to be even there on the sidelines. And, of course, this adds another layer. And should he, shouldn't. Here's how I see it. Why would he be out there? He just got activated off the PUP list, and then people thought, well, this means he's going to be back soon and sign a new deal, or everything's going to be fine. To me, it's part of the negotiating. You're out there, and, like, you see you're smiling on the sidelines. Everybody just kind of, like, to me, I feel like there still needs to be some pressure on the team. I don't look at this as a Trey Hendrickson situation, Micah Parsons, even Cam Hayward in Pittsburgh, any of those things. When you hear that Terry McLaurin is not going to be out there on the sidelines, is that even, like, do you bat an eye on that? Does that bother you at all? Is it anything?
Well, I think it speaks to what a lot of the reporting has been post him being taken off the PUP list, which is, they're still at a standstill. They are still a long way away from a contract extension. And he's still hurt, angry, frustrated, and they're still a little bit bewildered by what they, you know, wanted, and maybe even by the overall reaction to this. So, yeah, I mean, that's what it says to me. If I were advising him, and I'm not, I think that I would have said, you know, you've been activated, get out there, and, you know, they're not going to play you, and they're not going to play you in the Baltimore game, but work towards getting ready for the regular season. Look, I've talked a lot about this, and a lot of people don't like necessarily what I think about this, but this is Terry's last opportunity, realistically, to put $50 million into his bank account. That possibility is not going to be there next year or the year after that. And even though it's $20 to $30 million less than what he wants, it's a pretty sizable bird in hand. And it's probably more reflective of his actual worth it moving forward, not about looking back. So I still think, Nick, a deal will eventually get done with Terry giving in to a certain degree.
So do I. My bigger concern really is just him being ready for week one. How much do you think this offense, I mean, again, he's already, the offense is behind as a whole. They've had injuries to the offensive line. Terry hasn't been out there. My biggest concern is far less about him getting a deal done and, like, being out there week one. It's more about him being ready for week one to me, Kevin.
Well, I think that's the key to getting him off the PUP list. Like, the team had basically said, look, you know, your ankle injury's fine, you know, we've given you our best and final, or certainly, you know, close to our best and final. We're not anywhere near it. It's time for you to start getting ready for a season in which you're under contract. And we have the expectation of you being available and being ready to play week one. And that process needs to start now, even though it doesn't include playing in preseason games, nor should it, right? Because he's not ready for tonight, and next week no starters are going to play anyway. So it's about ramping him up and getting him acclimated and getting him the work and getting him into a level of football shape that, you know, we're, you know, right now on August 18th, that means we're 13-7, 20 days away from the opener. So that should be enough of, you know, a ramp-up period, as Quinn described it, to get him ready for the opener.
Who are you excited to see out on the field tonight?
The corners against their receivers. Mm-hmm. To me, still, the single biggest storyline, because I do believe Terry will play because he's under contract, is will this defense be improved? You know, there's no game planning that goes into tonight, but we're going to see starting corners against a team that's going to play its starting offense for at least a quarter. And it played it for two series last week against Philadelphia. They scored, you know, on two long drives to open up the game. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase is a true elite superstar, top five, top 10 player in the league. T. Higgins would be a true number one on a lot of teams in the NFL, and Joe Burrow's elite at quarterback. So I can't wait to see Lattimore. This is Lattimore's first matchup, I was told, against Higgins and Chase ever. I want to see Sanders still. I want to see the rookie Amos. That, to me, because, you know, even though scheme-wise it won't mean much, you'll get a sense mano a mano, you know, whether or not, you know, a guy like Amos and whether or not a guy like Lattimore's back, hopefully, and Amos has a chance to be a good player earlier rather than later.
Now, maybe this answer that you just gave is kind of already answering the question I'm about to ask you, but when you look at just by unit on this team, what unit concerns you the most heading into the regular season?
Defense and the ability to stop the run. You know, that was their biggest issue last year, and it's remarkable that they made it all the way to the NFC Championship game. We know the reason why. They had an elite-level quarterback that strapped the team to his back and overcame, you know, a very, you know, a terrible run defense and, you know, an overall poor defense. Can they, against the schedule that they face this year, if it turns out to be what it looks like, can they win 12 games with a bad defense again? I don't think so. The defense has to be improved, and there's a chance it could be. They added size. They added some talent, and it's year two in this scheme, and I'm excited to see what it can become, but it needs to be better than it was last year.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question, and bringing in some veterans obviously can help as long as they're used in the right way. Talking to Kevin Sheehan here on The Fan, you know, it's funny talking about that defense. I mean, Von Miller is one of the ones that certainly stands out. Look, he's a future Hall of Famer. I think we know that, but at 36, the question will obviously be, what does he have left in the tank? I look at this defense, Kevin, especially the defensive line, and let's just say defensive line, linebackers, kind of pass rush, let's try to lump them all together for this. There are some older guys certainly out there, but I think if they're able to rotate them on and off the field in the right situations, you know, listen, maybe need a little bit more of a breather, a little bit older, but they've got bursts still of some very talented, especially pass rushers, guys at linebacker in general, especially the starters. I know the depth is an issue with linebacker a little bit. I think this defense has a chance to be very good because they've got smart veteran players out there as long as they're put in a position to succeed.
Look, last year I thought there was a bit of a disconnect with the results, the team results, versus some of the individual performances. Frankie Louvu and Bobby Wagner were second team all pros. Mm-hmm. Frankie Louvu's on the verge of becoming a star player in the league. I believe that. I think he is their second best pound for pound football player on the team after Jaden. And I think this could be a massive year for him. And if Von Miller has the same sort of pass rush ability that he had in Buffalo last year, I think Louvu's going to feast. I think a guy like Johnny Newton could be a big-time threat as a pass rusher this year. And it's never going to surprise me, and I haven't been surprised enough over the years, if Daron Payne plays at a high level. This year, you know, isn't a contract year technically, but the same thing that happened to John Allen could happen to him if he doesn't have a big year. So, yeah, I'm excited too. And defense is so variable year to year. And there's no, you know, obvious reason for the change when you see a team that was bad one year and really good the next. It's sometimes it's just being in the system for a couple of years. And Last year was new. They struggled, but they had some talent. And I think this year, you know, year two with, you know, Frankie Louvu and hopefully Wagner playing at that level and maybe an improved secondary with Lattimore healthy and, you know, a guy like, you know, Amos and Will Harris back there. I'm excited to see it. I think Newton's the guy along with Armstrong. Those two guys I think are going to be interesting to watch this year.
Some people concerned about a sophomore slump for Jaden Daniels after seeing the C.J. Stroud, the Texans offense. Again, a million factors with that. Are you in the worrisome category or no?
No. Yeah. The only thing I'm concerned about is just him staying healthy. If he's healthy and upright, there's no like he just doesn't have any flaws. You know. And by the way, C.J. Stroud played well at times. They had real issues up front. They did get to the postseason, and they did win a game. Let's not forget that. You know, last year with Stroud and the struggles that they had in certain games last year offensively. But to me, Stroud really isn't a good comp for Daniels. Daniels is a cut, if not two cuts, above Stroud as an overall talent, not just as a thrower, but as a dual-threat quarterback.
Crazy to think Bobby Sloak was getting coaching interviews and then 1 year later fired as offensive coordinator in Houston. Amazing what a year can do in the NFL. Kevin Sheehan, you're the best, man. Good talking to you again.
All right, Nick.
All right, there he goes. Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980. The Kevin Sheehan Show is in podcast form as well. I think that there are certainly some things defensively that are going to be a great gauge, even if it's a couple of drives tonight for the Commanders. We'll get back into that as well. Kickoff at 8, Commanders-Bengals in, I'm going to put it in quotes, Monday Night Football. Nick Hashew on the Fan. Nick Hashew on the Fan. Trey Hendrickson. We got some pictures on Twitter now. I'm having a pregame conversation with the Bengals director of personnel, Duke Tobin. He's in trade rumors. Brian Robinson's not playing for the Commanders. He's in trade rumors. Terry McLaurin requested a trade. Not really. He's not going to be out there for them at all. Gotta love the preseason. Look, the NFL will never get to the level of the NBA. But it's got its own set of drama, doesn't it? It's just more of this time of year. Like, the NFL trade deadline has kind of gotten a little bit more exciting over the years. But the one sport that will always dominate the off-the-field or court news cycle is always going to be the NBA. You know, the NFL's got its moments, too. These off-season holdouts are now their hold-ins half the time and trade requests and guys now going to social media like Micah Parsons thanking the fans and saying they're not going to be there. Now, granted, the Cowboys are always going to be in this conversation more than any other team, right? They're always going to be the center of it. But this is, you know what it does, honestly? It makes a preseason game in the middle of August just a little bit more interesting, doesn't it? Now, granted, we're going to see starters out there. Kevin Sheehan, who just joined us earlier, I'm with him. The secondary up against these receivers that the Bengals have, that's a good test. And, you know, listen, there's still a level of competition. Like, let's not totally water down preseason in a way that we just think that guys don't care at all from a competitive standpoint. They may not take risks to avoid injury, knowing that, you know, again, if you're a star, if you're Ja'Marr Chase, like, are you really going to want to run across the middle and take a big hit from a linebacker? Probably not. You know, like, it's about getting into that routine for the regular season. It's about getting into that mindset and taking a few hits enough, build up those calluses. But it's not to the point where it's like, all right, like, but there's still a level of competition that does matter there. So you're going to get stuff like that tonight. There are players that certainly need to have big nights tonight. Now, let's take out some of the guys in the end of the roster that you look at and say, like, they got to make the team, right? There are a few out there like that, certainly. But there are other names that maybe have expectations on them this year, and it's either a rookie or a second-round guy, younger guys that are kind of expected or hoped to be a part of sort of the foundation that this front office is building, right? Jalen Lane and Luke McCaffrey are the two that I look at tonight and say, first preseason game against the Patriots, I get it. Quarterback issues, really no starters out there, not really a situation that was going to give you a gauge of what they could do. Tonight is the night that we need to see something from Jalen Lane and Luke McCaffrey. And those are just two. There are certainly other names that are going to be in that. But those are the two that stand out to me. And it's for a couple of reasons, because they're obviously going to be in the spotlight, given the fact that they're going to get more opportunities with no Terry McLaurin right now in practice and in preseason games, period. That just matters. It's a simple numbers game with the snap count, right? Like, that's the first part. But Luke McCaffrey had one catch for, really, what was it, like negative 1 yards. And he was sick last game, so didn't even get really an opportunity. And even some of these other receivers like a Chris Moore and K.J. Osborne, we didn't see something from anybody. Now, Sam Hartman was terrible. And Josh Johnson's probably won the third-string quarterback job, which, again, we are talking about a quarterback battle for the third-string quarterback on this team, and that's it. It's pretty good. It's a pretty good spot to be in. But Jalen Lane, with his versatility and the way that they can use him, again, Cliff Kingsbury wants players on this offense that are versatile, that can do different things. Deebo Samuel is perfect for him, right? Jalen Lane has the ability to be somebody similar. Just get the ball in his hands and let him make plays. I want to see that tonight, because it's something we're going to need to see during the regular season. Because even if Terry McLaurin is out there week one, again, I still think he's going to be. Kevin Sheehan, who just joined us, thinks he's going to be. That doesn't mean that we're going to have 100% of Terry McLaurin. The ramp up takes time. Maybe he'll get there. Maybe he won't. The point is, you got to have some other guys that are going to be ready. Debo's going to get some opportunities tonight, but we know what Deebo Samuel can be. Even if it's not peak Deebo Samuel of a couple of years ago, like I've said, right? If we can get 1,100 combined yards from Deebo Samuel this year, that's a pretty good season for him. He's 29. He's looking for a new deal at some point soon too. Motivated guy, that's there. But Luke McCaffrey, look, some of it around Luke McCaffrey, let's be honest with ourselves, it's his name, right? It helps to have the last name McCaffrey in football. There's a pretty good history there of a brother and a dad pretty damn good. But that doesn't mean that even if he doesn't have the exact same genetics as Christian McCaffrey, all right, he's shown flashes at times where you hope that he can take that next step. Now, we've been here plenty of times before, right? There are tons of players that you see flashes of, and they never turn those flashes into their consistency, into their baseline. That may just be who he is. But it's too early to be able to say, like, that's who Luke McCaffrey is. Tonight is an opportunity to just show something. Just show something, because it's going to give the offense and Jaden Daniels, listen, a little bit more confidence. Just in this situation here with Terry McLaurin doing, everything he can to try to get a new deal. You've got to know there's got to be other comfort zones, other guys that Jaden Daniels can trust, right? We know what Austin Ekeler was as a receiver out of the backfield. Obviously missed some time last year, but when he was out there, very important to the offense, just as a receiver alone. We know what Zach Ertz was. Zach Ertz was the epitome of that veteran safety blanket, that parachute for a young quarterback. Every young quarterback has to have them. That's who Santana Moss was, RG3's rookie year. It's sometimes a tight end, sometimes it's a guy operating out of the slot, whatever the case is. But that's still what you need to have, and they've got that in Zach Ertz. But you start going down that depth chart a little bit, especially at wide receiver, you're going to want to see that there are other, because listen, even if Terry McLaurin's back, Deebo Samuel, they look good week one, what are good defenses going to do? Hey, that Deebo guy and that McLaurin guy, we should watch them. We should cover them. That's the whole point of bringing in somebody like Deebo Samuel on top of that, to then get opportunities and distract the defense from a Terry McLaurin. And if you can add a Jalen Lane or a Luke McCaffrey as weapons the defenses have to game plan for on Sundays or Thursdays or Mondays or whatever the case is, that's going to help this offense. Those are the two guys that I really want to see step up in this game tonight. It's one thing for starters. It's one thing for guys that we already know. You just want, like, it's another for flashes of Jalen Lane and Luke McCaffrey telling us, hey, we can also contribute to this passing game as well, and we can help this offense grow. We can help this offense get bigger. All right, got about 30 minutes or so to kick off. Nick Ashew on The Fan. Nick Ashew on The Fan, Bengals, Commanders, 8 o'clock kick, give or take. Saw Deebo Samuel running onto the field in the Commanders uniform. Jamar Chase, Jaden Daniels meeting at midfield earlier. T. two LSU guys. Listen, there's a level of just bragging rights and some pride that's going to be involved in this game, you know? I know we joke a lot about preseason, but, you know, and again, taking out guys that have to make the roster, there are situations like this that matter, too. It may not be maxed out competitively for the stars that are going to be on this field, but it still matters. Still something there. Kind of nice to see Debo in a Commander's uniform. Listen, I'm really excited about
Debo. I just thought the same thing.
What's that, Ben?
Debo in the Commander's uniform.
Right? Like,
you just saw it on the screen, right?
Yeah. Here's what I'll say. Like, we've spent so much time talking about Terry McLaurin and his contract, and rightfully so. I mean, this is a huge deal. It has a massive impact on this team in a million different ways that we've laid out. But just from a offensive perspective, let's just, like, as the season goes on, even if Terry's not 100% ramped up for week one or week two, which, again, is my biggest concern, aren't you looking at Debo Samuel with a level of excitement in terms of what he can do to this offense? That's one of the more underrated, like, exciting storylines with this team heading into the season.
I mean, when I was out there at camp one of the days, just as a fan, I could see it from the get-go. Jaden and Debo had a special connection. Those two were able to hook up often, especially in the red zone. And that's big because, you know, barring McLaurin's situation, I do think that he'll be on the field week one and he'll play this year. But that was your red zone guy last year. If you have another option in one, Zach Ertz, who I think is going to have another really good year despite his advanced age, I think he continues to get better in this system with Jaden Daniels. But if you have Debo Samuel as a real red zone threat the way he's been in camp, this offense is going to look good because at times they struggled in the red zone last year outside of McLaurin. They had a lot of drives and in field goals, or they stalled out because of penalties because they didn't have enough guys that could get open around the end zone.
I think we've forgotten because the 49ers were so just devastated by injuries and had a horrible season last year. I think there is a level of people just forgetting how good Debo Samuel can be.
Absolutely. I think a lot of people have kind of put a lack of respect on his name because, one, he had pneumonia last year, which I think is what caused him to gain a little bit of weight. He was battling that throughout the year, and he still hit his highest peak speed ever in the NFL, actually, last year, on one of his long touchdowns that he had. He's a dynamic player that can come out of the backfield for you as well, but I just like the aspect of him being a guy you could rely on to catch the ball in the end zone. I think that's the most important thing for this team because you got number five at quarterback. He's going to find his guys if you're open. I think Debo has the ability to run good routes and get open, and you know he's got good hands. So, reliable option for you down there.
All right, you love this team. Who are you excited to see out there tonight?
Ooh, so I like to be like, I like to go as deep as possible into this stuff to really get in the nitty-gritty. I'm excited to see Kane Medrano because Jordan...
Look at you. You're just flexing right now.
I know. But I think about it this way, because Jordan McGee is a guy that they drafted a year ago, and he just could not get on the football field because he's just been injured the entire time. Now he's injured again, so maybe that puts his spot in jeopardy. But you get a guy in Medrano out of UCLA who just flies around to the football. Everyone raves about his speed, but he's kind of a tweener. Tonight, if you see him out there with Frankie Louvre on the field, you're not going to see Bobby Wagner, obviously. But they wanted to be in three linebacker sets all last season, and that's what Joe Witt Jr. said oftentimes, and they didn't have McGee to serve in that role. But if Medrano can actually fill in and help them accomplish that, I think it's going to help their defense as a whole, and they'll be better stopping the run, hopefully.
We talked to Kevin Sheehan earlier, and you know, the defense had very low expectations going into last year, and then, of course, it's a defense that overachieved, exceeded expectations. We know what they did against Detroit in the playoffs, generating all those turnovers, all of those things. I still maintain that this defense may have to kind of carry the team a little bit the first couple weeks of the season if the offense isn't really clicking the way that it should. And Cliff Kingsbury's even said, like, this is a work in progress right now. And with Terry McLaurin out and the injuries to the offensive line and some of the things they've had to deal with right now, a veteran defense with experience that's also fresh, because the injuries are going to, hopefully not, but the injuries could start to become an issue with the older guys on this roster, especially defensively as the season goes on. Hope that's not the case, but there is a chance that that happens. But early in the season, veterans know how to take care of their bodies, the ones that have played this long. They know how to handle recovery. They know how to make sure that they're ready for game day, ready for games early in the regular season. So this defense with the veteran experience they have, the talent that's still there. Von Miller still got something left in the tank at 36. He's not going to be Von Miller. But even if it's a few bursts a game of like, oh, there's the Von Miller we remember, that's going to matter for this team. And if early in the season the offense is having some issues just from chemistry, just from clicking, just from everybody not being out there in camp and having to play catch up a little bit, let's say it's the first 2-3 weeks of the season, it's a possibility. Like, we can't rule this out. Having that veteran presence and that talent and experience on this defense is going to make a huge, huge difference. Look, Bobby Wagner, kind of, a lot of people thought he was washed up, second team All-Pro, right? Frankie Louvu, we know who he is, and he's obviously younger. He's not in the category of a Von Miller or Bobby Wagner or those yet. But you add him in there in that mix with a couple of those guys around him as well, and the defensive line and the guys that they can rotate through, and hopefully a secondary that clearly looks more talented than it was this time last year heading into the season. Trey Amos is a big deal, but that's obviously a young guy that's there, and Marshawn Lattimore and what he's going to bring to the table. Like, this defense does have the talent. They've clearly upgraded from last season, and it's going to be important for them to have things together right away. Now, listen, I'm not saying that this defense is, or this offense is guaranteed. Oh, like, I'm not going to throw out some stupid hot take and be like, I'll tell you what, this offense is going to be horrendous, and oh, God, Terry McLaurin has ruined everything for them, and it's going to take them 6 weeks to recover. No, but there is a level of concern that you do have with your best wide receiver and one of your best players not being out there and developing that chemistry with a Deebo Samuel. And listen, the offensive line's got some new pieces, some guys that are in some new spots. They've been in and out of the lineup, and you're dealing with injuries, and Sam Cosmi's not going to be out there right away. Like, there is a lot that is concerning about this offense, not enough to say, oh my God, I'm going to throw up a red flag and this, you know, they're going to fall off a cliff this year. Of course not. But it's something to watch early in the year. But if the defense can pick up some of that slack, and there may be games where the defense is what wins them that football game early, a late game turnover, where last year it was the offense, late game heroics time and time again. Maybe early on in the season, it's the defense that's making some of those plays. And a Von Miller and a Bobby Wagner, obviously we saw Bobby Wagner, what he can do last year, are clearly two of the veteran names that you think about, but they're not the only ones there. And Javon Kinlaw now, somebody that's, you know, he's got something to prove just to show, like, did he get overpaid? Because a lot of people feel like he got overpaid. So this is an opportunity for him to also prove that he belongs in this position that it's in. So, listen, this front office has made it very clear they love guys that come in to have something to prove and a chip on their shoulder. And I don't hate that. I don't hate that strategy. I don't hate that mindset, because that trickles down to every single player in that locker room. And that thing matters. All right, kickoff in about 15 minutes or so. Nick Ashew on the Fan.
Look, with Jaden at quarterback, all of our backs will benefit. Eckler was probably, when healthy, our most overall impactful back. Chris Rodriguez had some moments last year. As a runner, perhaps better, more consistent moments than even Brian Robinson Jr. And damn, do we love Jeremy McNichols. We love McNichols, not just as a special teamer. We like him as a back. Who knows? Maybe McNichols is the Jeremy Reeves offensive equivalent. Maybe they're seeing a bigger role for McNichols in the same way that I think they are seeing a bigger role for Jeremy Reeves on defense, not just a special teamer.
Nick Ashew on the Fan. It was Kevin Sheehan. Joined us earlier. Brian Robinson, not playing tonight for the Commanders. Clearly on his way out. And at this point, it just feels, everything feels inevitable at this point. Now, listen, it's a weird situation, right? Because they don't have anybody as of right now. Now, this could change as the season goes on, where somebody establishes themselves as sort of the lead back. Again, there's different roles, third down back. There's no Bijan Robinson on this team, okay? There's just Brian Robinson as of now. But they're in a spot where you have to sit here and decide whether or not Brian Robinson is more valuable to you, even in the limited capacity that it would maybe be this year, as a power back, as a guy that can get you some tough yardage, but he's not going to be explosive, Or is he more valuable to you trying to get a seventh-round pick, which they may get, they may not. It's clear the front office has said, you're worth a seventh-round pick, maybe, and we'll take it. Maybe he just gets cut tomorrow. There's a chance that that's the case, too, and they're trying to field last-minute calls to get something for him.
That's what I think this entire time, really, Nick.
You really do, Ben. You are all in on this just being a thing where he's cut tomorrow, aren't you?
I am. I honestly think right now he might be in Ashburn packing up his locker, because what we know about this front office, they're very tight-lipped. They often don't leak things to the media, especially. Most of the reports that come out are usually coming from agents or from other organizations, and maybe that's what we're hearing right now about Robinson. It's other teams that have received calls from the Commanders trying to shop Brian Robinson Jr. And for a guy that's entering the final year of his contract, and maybe even for a running back, he's a little bit older because he spent an extra year at Alabama. And just a guy that's dealt with injury over the past year as well. Probably not a whole lot of value there. I doubt the Commanders are really going to be able to get much for him, if anything at all. And if that's the case, I think barring any major injury to anyone in the running back room tonight, he might get released tomorrow.
Let me tell you something. If it escalates to that point that quickly, that shows there is nobody that wants him. Now, it's a lot different when nobody has to give up anything, right? As an organization, you're going to look and say, do we even give them a seventh rounder, or do we just wait and see if we can sign him? I say you just wait, because it's not like it's one of those things where there's going to be an arms race to try and sign Brian Robinson. But again, there is going to be value as maybe a number two back on a team that's looking for sort of a change of pace, somebody that they can get in those short yardage situations, that also maybe views it just as a fresh start. Listen, sometimes it is just about a fresh start for any player, where it's just the system isn't working for you, the personnel, you don't match up with what the coaches are looking for in terms of personnel, which clearly is part of what this is, right? Cliff Kingsbury has made it known that at this point, he wants explosive guys, he wants versatile guys, and that's just not B-Rob. It's just that simple. It doesn't mean that he can't find a role on another team that's going to give him a few more years in this league and he can play till he's 30 and, you know, get a one-year deal and maybe another couple of one-year deals or whatever the case is this year. But it's clearly just not going to be with this team. Yeah, they've made it known.
I think he can play. And honestly, like, I have my reservations about letting him go because I think his physical nature is something that this team can use. But I do understand the thinking for a guy that's from the previous regime. Maybe they're trying to just move in a completely different direction here. But I don't think Brian Robinson Jr. is a bad running back at all. I know injury was a big part of the reason why his production tailed off last year. The offensive line was banged up as well. So it's going to be really interesting to see where he goes moving forward, because I think there'd be plenty of teams that would be interested in picking him up after he's released ultimately.
And that's if I also wonder, too, if Bill the running back hadn't generated all this preseason hype, if we'd be in this position right now. I think that's a difference maker there, too, is they found a young seventh-round running back that they think could be at least a major contributor to this offense as the season, maybe not week one, but as the season goes on. Listen, I've always been a big fan of Chris Rodriguez. I wanted to see more of Chris Rodriguez last year, so it's clear that the team feels this way too. We're expected to see a lot of Chris Rodriguez tonight against the Bengals, and Jeremy McNichols has his own role. The niche that he brings to this team matters, where it's not about him getting 10 carries a game even, but it's in obvious passing situations, can he throw the big block, but also be somebody that you can count on that's a veteran that understands? It's just making the smart play. Sometimes it's just having guys that could be out there to make the smart play. It's not going to show up in a box score, might not show up in a highlight, though, I've seen the Jeremy McNichols block against the Bengals last year quite a bit on Twitter right now. So you just have to kind of decide if you're building this roster. Again, you're limited to the amount of guys that you can bring in here, at least on the 53. There's the 70. There's all, like, again, there's practice squad. There's other things you can do. But, you know, for the main core of this roster, it's got to be a decision of, do we sacrifice a roster spot at another position for running back? I think they're keeping four guys. I think you just have to right now. But it's clear that Brian Robinson is not going to be that guy. And it could be as simple as he latches on somewhere else and has a decent season. And then there's going to be people that'll be like, well, why did they get rid of him? Well, it means it just didn't work in this offense, too. Like, it sometimes is as simple as just fit. That's all that it is. It doesn't mean that a player can't play in a league because he doesn't fit with a certain team. Now, we've seen it in the past where guys have struggled in Washington and gone on to, you know, have productive seasons other places, and some of it's just because this has been a train wreck, but it's not a train wreck anymore. This is a team that's got a plan, that's got a blueprint, that's got a short-term and a long-term plan. Now, granted, that short-term and long-term plan has had to change because of the success they've had last year. So you just if the Commanders have been a six-win team last year, this whole offseason would look totally different. There would have been a lot more guys traded or released. They'd be stocking up on more draft picks. Terry McLaurin would not, they would not be having this fight with Terry McLaurin, this negotiation, this battle, whatever you want to call it. They just wouldn't be doing it. They would have moved on. They would have traded him. Go back and look at over the last few years, big star receivers that were in line for those big contracts. Most of them got traded. Now, not all of them. It depended on, you know, again, Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson. You're getting guys entering their peak. Different situation. But, I mean, Tyreek Hill got traded. And we look at A.J. Brown, probably got traded too early, but obviously the Eagles jumped in on that, and the Titans kind of don't really know what they're doing. But, you know, you can find plenty of receivers, and Devontae Adams is another. And, again, go down the list. A lot of the price for star receivers in the NFL, it's just, I mean, it is skyrocketing. Quarterback, we know how expensive they are. Left tackle, massively important. Why? Protects your quarterback's blind side, unless he's left-handed, not very many, so it's mostly left tackles. Then it's wide receivers. So it's everything still revolves around the quarterback, but it's now getting more expensive, the trickle-down effect, right? It was about the quarterback, but now left tackles are getting more and more expensive as offenses continue to be more pass-heavy, and the rules change in the NFL, and you know the game evolves, and wide receivers are really expensive. And if you have the luxury, which Washington does right now, to pay somebody like Terry McLaurin, you do it. If they were in a spot where this team has a long way to go to rebuild, you're stocking up on picks, you're getting young, and you're just trying to find ways to protect your franchise quarterback. But they now on a timetable of, we need to win now. We have expectations of going to a Super Bowl. That's it. They have Super Bowl aspirations, and that is a legit conversation to have around this team. Was not before. It is now legit. But you've got to make decisions that also trickle down 3 years down the road. And that's part of it. And if it's not trying to even give Brian Robinson another opportunity this year in a contract year to see how motivated he is and see if you could get the best Brian Robinson at least for one season, and it's just moving on, but at the same time, then it's got to pay Terry McLaurin. Like, the mindset is very, very different around where this team is now versus the time where they were last year. Big difference. All right, Commanders-Bengals about to kick off in a few minutes here. We get to see starters out on the field. Gotta love it. Nick Ashew on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your Fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If you love golf or just great storytelling, you've got to check out Invested in the Game, a new original podcast from Charles Schwab. Each episode highlights remarkable people who have dedicated their time, energy, and heart to the sport. You'll hear from voices like Sam Hahn, CEO of Lab Golf, PGA Tour player Ben Griffin, and Nick Schreiber, the visionary behind Old Barnwell Golf Club. Now, you might be wondering, why is Schwab doing a golf podcast? Well, you might already know Schwab from their five other podcasts covering investing and the markets. Quick plug, you can find those at schwab.com/podcasts. But this one's different. Invested in the Game goes beyond finance into something many of Schwab's clients are deeply passionate about. Golf. Schwab has supported the game for decades through events, promotions, and sponsorships at both the pro and collegiate level. This podcast is their way of sharing the incredible stories behind the game. Listen now at schwab.com/the game or wherever you get your podcasts.